Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's programme for January 4th, the 1st of 2014. I'm Scott Capper in Bern. This year there is likely to be one word on many people's lips, in fact the same as last year, tax.
The process is a bit hardball.
The EU have basically said that Switzerland's corporate tax regime is anti-competitive, is harmful and it must go.
Switzerland's banks will be hoping to resolve the dispute over banking secrecy with the US authorities, while the country's cantons will be taking a long, hard look at their corporate tax policies. Swiss financial institutions had until December 31st to sign up for a tax declaration program, allowing them to come clean about American tax-dodging clients. Around 60 of the country's 300-plus banks filed before the deadline, although many are not sure if any of their customers did anything illegal. The whole business has not failed to cause some hand-wringing. But will this affair really poison Swiss-American relations? That's the question I put to Martin Neville, head of the Swiss-American Chamber of Commerce.
Your relation always has two sides. The easy one is the view of Switzerland in America will not change at all because this is not a story in the U.S. In the broad public, but also with the opinion leaders, this is not a story about Switzerland and America. It is purely a story of clear judicial process against certain individuals and certain institutions who might have broken the American law. On the other side, the view of American Switzerland might take a bit of a hit. The process is a bit hardball, and also a lot of people forget that the Swiss banks and some of the Swiss bankers are not completely innocent, and this is a solution that has to be solved. But we will certainly encounter a lot of populists screaming against America, the imperialist power that wants to destroy the Swiss financial business place, and all those kind of a bit weird screaming that we will hear this, and this will certainly not be positive for the relationship.
Will this affect business in any shape or form?
As long as there is no big accident, no. Business is going extremely well between the two countries. Trade goes very well in both directions with massive growth over the last years. And I don't think that will be hurt as long as there is no big accident like a blockade on the Swiss side to refusing to solve the issue or some indictment against a serious Swiss bank. This could lead into some trouble and some contagion also in the rest of the economic business relationship. But bearing that, and I don't expect this, bearing that, it should be a bit wavy, but it should not affect trade and foreign direct investments in both directions.
The impression is the relationship is still defined by this tax issue, an impression reinforced by the absence of a U.S. ambassador in Switzerland.
First of all, I don't think we can put the missing ambassador down to the tax issue. Again, in the U.S., the tax issue does not play a role. That have no ambassador, I think, is really coming down to large inefficiencies in the administration and the Congress, which has had some issues, as we know. There are a few other countries who are still waiting for an ambassador. This is just not high on the priority list. Second, the relationship is very, very broad in humanitarian, in academics, in research, and especially in business, in trade and bilateral foreign direct investments. Only there is no other problem. The only problem we really have between the two countries is this tax issue, and this is also what the Swiss see as a lot of the Swiss, especially in the political arena, see as the defining moment of the relationship. But if you look at it in a more holistic way, this is really a very small thing that has to be solved. Will be painful for a few players, but this is not going to define the relationship that is extremely broad, also on diplomatic relationships.
Martin Neville, head of the Swiss-American Chamber of Commerce, speaking there. The Swiss are also under pressure to revise their corporate tax rules. The European Union says that Swiss cantons have provided a safe haven for multinationals and other firms wishing to avoid paying billions that they owe elsewhere. The pressure has been such that it has proven a major roadblock in negotiations between Switzerland and the EU about a number of bilateral accords. According to Swiss Info business correspondent Matt Allen, revising corporate tax will be one of the major challenges facing the cantons this year.
The EU have basically said that Switzerland's corporate tax regime is anti-competitive, is harmful, and it must go. They've been saying that for several years, and Switzerland's finally given in and said, yes, we must make changes. Otherwise, the EU are going to retaliate with various trade measures and so on. So how much is this going to be a problem? Well, you've got to replace those tax measures with the ones that both comply with the EU and still keep those multinational companies in Switzerland. That's going to be very difficult to do. Some figures for you. Geneva have said if you just cut out the measures that are currently attracting companies and they start leaving, it's going to cost us about $500 million francs a year. Zurich are closer to $1 billion. So do you see the numbers here that these companies bring to the canton finances? There will be a very real issue if they leave, and it could well happen if Switzerland cannot come up with new ways of keeping them here tax-wise.
You mentioned that Switzerland is being pushed to make these reforms. To what extent, though, are the cantons actually going to be prepared to make those changes? I mean, the feeling is that, as you said, there are huge sums of money at play here. Are they going to give in or roll over and just die, or will they fight to the bitter end?
No, they're not going to fight to the bitter end. This issue has been knocking around now for about 6 years, and at first Switzerland just told the EU to go away. We're not going to negotiate with you. But then the EU in the last couple of years has started saying, well, if you don't play ball with us on this, then the next time you want a bilateral agreement with us, say if you want to join our energy sector or you want to your financial firms to have enhanced access to the EU, you can forget it. So you play ball with us now or you're going to suffer in the future. And Switzerland has had to swallow its pride and say, well, there's nothing we can do. The damage in the future would be too great if we ignore this problem. We're going to have to comply with the EU. Even the cantons have agreed.
And in this situation, are all cantons equal?
Certainly not. In terms of attracting these companies, there are certain cantons that specialize in it. It's almost like an industry for them. We're talking about the cantons of Geneva, Vaud, Zug, Valais to an extent, and Zurich to a smaller extent. But it seems to be around the French-Swiss cantons seem to have specialized in this a lot. Others that are far, far away from airports and transport links and universities and so on don't really have a chance. But it is disproportional. So cantons like Geneva, for example, would suffer much more highly than a more rural canton. They would also Zurich would also suffer, but obviously Zurich has, as the financial center of Switzerland, will attract companies purely for that reason. So there's a great imbalance, yes.
And that was Swiss Info Business correspondent Matt Allen. The Swiss government will be hoping it can overcome roadblocks such as corporate tax as it negotiates with the European Union further bilateral treaties. Whether it succeeds remains to be seen, as Swiss Info political correspondent Urs Geiser explains.
Well, the government certainly hopes to make progress in 2014. We already know that the foreign ministry is travelling to Germany. They hope to invite the EU president Barroso to Switzerland this year. The German president is coming to Switzerland. I think it's fairly likely that we'll see some progress at least, but whether they'll achieve their goal of completing their talks with the EU by summer, by mid-year, I'm not 100% sure there.
What are the points where the relationship is really struggling at the moment between the EU and Switzerland, given that they're fairly important trade partners, they do have a good, I might say, business relationship. So where is the breakdown?
I think it's the general framework. These bilateral agreements are regulated between Brussels and Switzerland. And then, of course, there's the tax issue, which always plays a part. And, then immigration as such, and that might take us to one of the first big votes in 2014. The Swiss are due to vote on a proposal by the right-wing Swiss People's Party to limit immigration, and notably from the European Union.
How much of an issue politically is immigration? Is it really a fundamental question where there are real issues at stake? Or is it also, again, a question of political posturing?
If it is posturing, then that might well be, but not only from the part of the Swiss People's Party. But it definitely is an important issue for Switzerland and has been for years. Let's not forget that in the second half of the 20th century, Switzerland, ever since then, I think Swiss politics has been grappling with the issue of immigrants. At the time, it was mainly Italians or Spaniards. And since we've introduced the so-called free movement of people, it's become a huge issue for Swiss politics and also for the ordinary Swiss.
Swiss Info political correspondent Urs Geiser speaking there. Switzerland will also be looking to extend its influence abroad this year. The country has taken over the presidency of the 57-nation Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, and notably will be in a position to broker conflicts in southeastern Europe and the Caucasus region, as well as attempt to manage tensions between two OSCE members, the United States and Russia. But Switzerland is also expected to help elsewhere, in places such as the Middle East. While it has been helping promote reform in some countries and providing funding for refugees from the Syrian conflict, it can do more, according to the head of Swiss Info's Arabic service, Kamal Diff.
I think Switzerland and European countries can do more because the Syrian tragedy is a huge one, and it's catastrophic to know that for now, about the half of the population, of the Syrian population, were obliged to quiet their houses or their regions or their country.
So for 2014, what do you think the Swiss government should do to help in the Middle East and North Africa?
The Swiss government should go further and should maybe put more pressure on these new governments to be more democratic and to respect the human rights and to enlarge the participation, the political participation in each of these countries. But you know, the Swiss government doesn't like to be on the front line in situations like these. I think the Swiss government can help these countries by accelerating the process to give the money, Tunisian money or Ben Ali's and Mubarak's money in the Swiss banks, and to give advice and technical assistance to this government in some fields, like banks, professional training, dealing with the past, and human rights. And in these fields, I think the Swiss government can do more.
And that was Kamal Diff, the head of Swiss Info's Arabic service. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Scott Kappa.